Okay, we're up to Paragimel, Pasuk Ches. Okay, Paragimel, Pasuk Ches. Uvashana Hashenis Levayom El Beis Elokim. Now it's the second year after they have arrived in Yerushalayim at the site of the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim. Levayom, when they are after arriving El Beis Elokim, Yerushalayim, Bachodesh Hasheni. So here is what is interesting is the second year. The second year, the first year was the Chodesh Tishrei. And then they just brought a few korbanos, oilos, then sukkos, and then they continued to bring oilos throughout the remainder of that year, for 12 months, it would appear. And we had a discussion last week that being that there was no actual structure, there was nothing more than just a mizbeach, and perhaps some type of curtain surrounding the Mizbeach, they were only able to offer oilos, according to at least many of the Rishonim. Could be there are others that disagree. They learned that they can offer anything they wanted. They can offer from Chatois, but the Pashto says they only offered oilos. Now it's been 13 months. It's the Shana Hashinis, Levayom, El Beis. No, I'm sorry, not 13 months. So Shana Hashinis means that now they're passing through Chodesh Nisan. Right, so the first year when they arrived sometime in the spring or the summer, and they built the Mizbeach Chodesh Hashvi'i in the seventh month. Then they went through the winter, comes Nisan, and now it's Iyar. B'Chodesh Hasheni, Chodesh Hasheni, Heichelu Zerubbabel ben She'altiel. Now they want to begin to build the actual foundation for the Mizbeach. I assume now the weather is good. Over the winter time, it wasn't so easy to get everything together. They had to go first, because in the previous paragraph, they had to go send to Tsar and Sidon to retrieve stone and to retrieve wood and hire craftsmen to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now that they've gone through the winter, and now I guess everything is in order, they began Hechelu Zerubbabel ben She'altiel v'Yeshua ben Yotzadok u'shor acheihem ha'kohanim, and the other fellow kohanim, the Halevim, v'chol haboyim mehashavi Yerushalayim, the 43,360 people that have returned from the exile of Yerushalayim, v'yamidu es Halevim, they stood up. They stationed the Levim, Ibn Eshem Shon of Amal, from 20 years and above, Linatseach al Meleches Beis Hashem. Now this can mean one of many things. Simply it means to sing. Okay, that's how most of the Rishonim here on the page learn. That's how Rash, that's how the Mitzvah learns. And Rashi Lenatzeach learns also, everyone learns that it means to sing. As they were about to lay the foundation for the Beis HaMikdash, there would be Levim, and the Levim would provide music and song, to not just, like we think today, entertainment. It was to give Shevach v'Hoidah to Hashem, to build, to lay the foundation in a state of Kiddusha Tahara, with a Machshava, of Shiros v'Sishbachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, L'Natzeach means to supervise. As we know, we say L'Natzeach Mizmor L'David. L'Natzeach means for the conductor, according to one of the interpretations, for the conductor. And a conductor basically is a supervisor. He brings together the orchestra. He puts everyone in their place. He is the leader. So here the Levim doesn't only mean that they would actually sing Shiros v'Sishbachos as the builders would construct the foundation, they would lay the foundation and proceed to build the Beis HaMikdash, but it means they were the overseers. They hired obviously a lot of non-Jews, a lot of craftsmen, specialists, experts in the field, and someone had to supervise this very elaborate construction project. Who was given the task? Was it given to the Kohanim? Was it given to the Yisraelim? The 42,360, was it given to the Asufim and the Shesukim and the Gerim and the Nesinim? No. The job of supervising the construction of the Beis HaMikdash was given specifically to the Levim. And that's another interpretation of Linatzeach. A third interpretation is not just to supervise the actual plans, but was to provide security. security, because the Goyimers were going to see very soon, they will vary the neighbors, especially not only the neighbors, the Kusim, the Shemroinim, who lived there from the time, going back from the time of 130 years ago, from the time of Ashur, they were living there, and they felt that they now had taken hold, occupied the land, they were the Balabatim over the land. They were very disturbed that Koresh gave permission for the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and they desperately tried to put an end to a halt. So they were needed Levim to provide basically security and encouragement, and to make sure everything goes and there is no interference by the Amei Haaretz. So Sach HaKol, we're presenting here three different interpretations for the word Lenatzeach. Either it means to sing, that's all they did, they sang music, they played musical instruments, they sang songs, and they, like I said before, it's just not like, you know, today you go to a construction site, so there's background music, and depending on who is doing the construction, they'll play whatever type of music they're accustomed to, or they'll listen to the various radio stations, their political affiliation, they'll listen to who they want to listen to. That's not what it was about. It was that the Machshava, when they laid the foundation, it should be done. We're dealing here with the Beis HaMikdash, the place of the Hashras HaShchina. It should be done with Kedusha Utahara. To review, the second interpretation is to supervise. They were the supervisors. They were the ones who had the blueprints. They were the ones that hired the workers. And the third interpretation is they were really a security team. Not to supervise, there are special people to do that, not to sing, just to make sure there is no interference. Okay, another point that we in this pasuk that is important, we mentioned this last week, is that notice here that when they're coming out to build the Beis HaMikdash, whose name is mentioned first? First comes Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel, and then comes the Kohen Yeshua ben Yotzadok. This is reverse what we learned last week when we were dealing with the building of the Mizbeach. When we discussed the building of the Mizbeach, there it was first the Kohen, and then the Melech, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the Melech Malchus of Yehuda, and Yeshua's Malchus was Levi, Sheva Levi, the Kohen Gadol. So when it comes to the Mizbeach, which is primarily a religious service, then it was the Kohen Gadol who took the lead. When it was the construction of the structure, the Beis HaMikdash, it was the Melech. He was a king without a crown, but he was basically the Melech. He took the lead, which is something very interesting, because as we mentioned from Rav Schwab's idea, because we typically today don't think of the Beis HaMikdash as a national treasure. We think of the Beis HaMikdash as a religious site. You go to the Kaisel, it's a holy place, it's there are rabbis, and it's under the jurisdiction of the Rabbanut, right? It's a religious center. It's absolutely true. Nothing to talk about. Hashras HaShchina. The Shchina here is resting. This is the place of the Avodah. This is the place to Kongol, the Sayav Lefnim. But there's another element, another dimension to the Beis HaMikdash, and it is under the domain of the Melech, of the Malchus, of the government, of the state, so to speak, put it in secular terms. It is the capital. It is a site, it is a structure which represents what unites Klal Yisrael together as a nation. Forget about the religious element, yeah?
Very interesting thing. Today, it's basically the reverse. The intellectual secular Israeli looks as the Kotel as a national shrine, not...
A shrine!
Domain, just a national shrine.
A shrine, exactly. A
national shrine. But not necessarily purely religious. That's how
aha. Attitude. Okay, so it's a little bit of a both. It's a little bit of both. When you're saying that it's a shrine, that means it's something religious. You're saying it's national, so that means it's part of the state. All right, so I don't know, okay, but this is a very, very interesting point. The Mizbeach, the same people, the Kohen Gadol took the lead. The bias, the structure of the whole edifice, the Melech took the lead. Okay, so we have over here these two ideas. Let's see Rashi, Pasik Ches. Bachodesh Hasheni is Chodesh Iyar. Okay, so it's 7 months later. Perek Gimel. Pasuk Ches. He'll show you.
Pasuk Ches.
Mehashvi Kol oisem shabo mehashivya liyushalayim.
Give me the numbers. It's everything is in Hebrew.
107. 107 I said is in English. What
did I hear?
What can I
find it? Page 107.
I cannot find it. Somebody
looked
for longer
than that.
Vayamidu
100. Keep going.
Vayamidu hamidu halavim hamishoyrim lenatzech v'loimer shiru lefnei habayim b'shas binyan yisod habayis. The Levim, they stood up, they were positioned to sing. Hamishoyrim lenatzech, the word lenatzech is a difficult word. It means to, literally it means to prevail. Nitzachon. Nitzachon means to conquer. So what does singing have to do with conquering?
Natsech in Hebrew also means to conduct.
To conduct, so that's what we said. To conduct. But when I told you that interpretation, it had nothing to do with singing. It meant to supervise the construction. Right? That's the more, Lam Natsech means for the conductor. The conductor is the supervisor. He is the supervisor of the orchestra. In fact, the conductor usually doesn't do anything. He doesn't sing. He doesn't play an instrument. He just stands with his baton and goes up and down and guides everyone. He doesn't. He is the supervisor. So if you learn Lamatzech, the Malbim learns like this. Lamatzech has nothing to do with music. Lamatzech means they were the supervisors, the managers of the construction of the Beis Hamidrash. You know those little trailers in front of every construction site? You have these little trailers, everyone's on the phone the whole time, and they're wearing their jeans and their hard hats, and they're always with their plans. That's what the Levim did according to the Malbim. That's what it means, Lenatzech. But that's not the way Rashi, that's not the way the Mitzvot learns. Zeilen Lenatzech means, it means to actually play, to sing, and to play musical instruments. So the question is, why, going back to Tanakh, to say to Tehillim, why does the word Lenatzech, what does it have to do with the word Lenatzech? Comes from the word Nitzachon, to prevail, to conquer. What does this word have to do with singing? So the answer is, when you sing as a group, each member of the group at certain points in the choir overcomes, relieves, or fills in. Their voice rises above their fellow member of the choir. That's the beauty of music. One is low and the other one is high, and then the next one prevails upon him. The one that was until now low will now raise up his voice above the one whose voice was high. So there's a constant state of people raising their voice and prevailing over the fellow members in the choir as they give forth beautiful sound. So that's why the word Lenatzech is borrowed for the purpose of singing. And that's how Rashi learns, one more time, by Yamidu Hamidu Halvim HaMasharim, who sing Lenatzech, to sing, V'loimar Shira, and to say words of thanksgiving, song, Lifnei HaBoinim, in the presence of those that build the lay the foundation, Mashas Bin Yisrael Abayis, when they laid the foundation, because obviously the thoughts, the machshava, it's something which is so foreign to us, this idea that when you lay the foundation, it should be done with the greatest degree of sanctity, of kedusha, because upon this foundation will be built the Beis HaMikdash, which was planned to be forever. Like today they have these, I guess that's what it's all about. They have these, it's all about money. That's the honor, that's the real truth for the cornerstone ceremony. You build a new building, everyone, you take out the cameras, and you bring all the wealthy people, and all the politicians, and all the rabbanim, and you come and you have everyone a shovel, and a hard hat, and you have a cornerstone laying, a cornerstone foundation. Cornerstone, and you write on the stone all these nice things, the year, the date, and so on and so forth, and the sponsor. Okay, so it's today, everything is just about money. It's all ceremony. But where does it come from? It comes from this. And when this is done, it should be done with the Kedusha Uvatar. The different stories, you know, in the previous generations, go back 200 years ago when they built, you know, Volozhny Yeshiva. I don't know which yeshiva was said about, is that when they built the yeshiva, so the beginning, the first time, there had to be a very intense tkufa of hasmada, of learning Torah. The first time they used the building to inaugurate the building with kedusha. I remember. I don't remember which yeshiva this was about. Whether it was a yeshiva, and they built an extension going back in the European yeshivas 200 years ago. They had a yeshiva, and they built an extension to the yeshiva. Right? A new the yeshiva there said that they have to sit and learn in that part of the yeshiva for non-stop. It has to be shifts of learning Torah non-stop to imbue that section of the Beis Medrash with Kedusha, being that it's new. It doesn't have the same Kedusha as the other part of the Beis Medrash. These ideas to us are bizarre and strange, and we totally don't relate to these things whatsoever, but you see that this is where it comes from. It does come from the Beis HaMikdash, is that they sang Shiros V'Shpachos, so that when the stones were laid, it was laid with the utmost Kedusha. Okay, next.
Tfilos?
Tfilos also, yeah. What?
Was it tfilos or was it secular?
What do you mean secular? Nothing was secular in the Beis HaMikdash.
Well, who are doing the bonim? The bonim are doing the
workers. So the workers are not, right, correct. Well,
so what they need to hear the religion?
I guess even they needed to be in a certain state of Kedusha.
You know.
I don't know the answer. I don't know, the whole thing is very strange to us. But maybe they weren't going. Maybe the guy who just directed what had to be done, the one that actually did the work, they wanted only it to be done by Jews. I mean, I don't know. I remember I was once on a site, a shul was built, okay, and I passed this place every so often, and they were putting up a shul, and it wasn't such a big place. And it was a total accident that, like, when the project was finished, I happened to pass by, and the guy was coming out. And somehow I struck up a conversation with this person, and he looked like a guy, like, he was dressed and had all the trappings of a non-Jew. And he says to me, "You know, I'm very proud that I personally laid every single beam in this building. And I know it's a synagogue, and I'm Jewish. And I'm proud that it was I, a Jew, who laid every single beam in this building." And it made a very big roshim on me, like, wow, look at this. Over here, the people who built this, it wasn't such a big structure. They didn't know, they just hired a construction company, and they hired, you know, and he laid every single beam, and he sang, "I'm Jewish, and I did it l'shma. I did it l'shma." Like, wow. The hashkacha pratis, you never know. But that's what it says over here. L'natzech al-melech ha-speis Hashem too. I'm probably the only one who knows this. They don't even know this. People who are in that location now. Okay, l'natzech shnei, maybe they do. If he told it to me, he probably told it to them also. So I shouldn't say that. L'natzech shnei nitzoychos halalu heim nitz. It says here this pasuk. It says here twice l'natzeach. Now, it's going back on the previous, what's the second? I didn't take note of this. It says, L'natzech shnei nitzoyches halalu heim nitzoycheshu. It's going to say it again. It's going to say it in the next pasuk, okay? We're going to have it again. Pasuk test, we're going to have it again, okay? This is still pasuk ches, but we're going to have it again with L'natzech a second time. So Rashi says this, that it says twice, this unusual word L'natzeach, it is Shira, it means song. Kimo lam natzeach b'neginos mizmar leDavid, for the conductor who is overseeing the song, the neginos, the song mizmar leDavid, for the song of David. So again, he's just saying that they actually sang. And Rashi knows what he's doing. He knows that he's getting into something very controversial. That we're dealing here with an unusual word for and a whole unusual concept that they would actually employ levim to sing when they did construction. Let's see over here the mitzudos tzion, how he takes the word, the etymology of l'natzeach, la l'natzeach, in yonai nitzoach hashir, to prevail in song. Al shem shederech balei hashir, it is the way of those members of the choir, l'natzeach ze'ezeh b'harama sakol, to prevail one upon the other in raising their voice, uvehachros hani'ima, and in different notes of melody, in laying out in laying out, putting an end, hachra, deciding, making a decision when to use this note and when to arrangement of music, musical arrangements. Okay, that's how he, that's also he goes to his approach. And if you look at the Mitzudos David, who elaborates on the parish, not just the analogy, like Rashi. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Tes. Vayamoid Yeshua Bonof. Yeshua is Yoshua Kohen Gadol. The hay for some reason is dropped. Bonof his sons, the Echov and his brothers. Who his brothers? Kadmiel. Okay, Kadmiel was another very proud member. We're not exactly clear who this person was. He was a very proud member of the Kohanim. Uvonov and his children. Bnei Yehuda Ke'echod. And Bnei Yehuda Ke'echod, and the children of Yehuda. So here we go. Here it's and now we have the Bnei Yehuda, which is Malchus, does not make mention of Zerubbabel, together Ke'echod as one, Linatseach, to sing Al Oisei Hamalacha, according to Rashi, to sing Al Oisei Hamalacha Beveis Elokim. Upon those who did the Malacha, they would be present, they would sing upon, and they would sing as they would observe the people who were in charge of doing the actual construction, Beveis Elokim. Who are they? Bnei Chei Nei Dod, Bnehem, their children, Va'achehem, their brothers, and the Ha'alevim, the Levim. So they were part of this group of people that would actually sing. Let's see over here, Pasuk Tes in the Mitzudos first. Lenatzech al oisei hamalacha, lingoish aleihem. So here, the Mitzudos is doing something different than Rashi. Rashi made it very clear, right? So Rashi very clearly made, Rashi was very clear in Pasuk Ches that Shnei Nitzoches Halolu were singing. The Mitzudos says no. The first Lenatzeach is singing. The second is the supervisor, is to be in charge. So Lingoish Aleihem Lubal Yirpu Yideim in Amalacha, to press them. Lingosh means to press, negisha. It means to press them, to push them, to oversee, to make sure.
As in the parsha,
the taskmasters, those people that are in charge of making sure that everything is done properly. So to press, lingos means to press. Lenoiksim, it's shaim lingos aleihem lebal yibri. Then they should not loosen their hands min hamalacha. Do not be intimidated by the people of the land that are constantly harassing you and threatening you and trying to prevent you from completing the construction. Bneicha neidar gam heim hoyu noiksim al oisem hamalacha. These people, the people Bnei Chei Neidod, it's not clear in the pasuk what purpose these, what's the function of this family? Are they the sing? Are they the Oisei Hamalacha, or are they the people who are in charge of overseeing the labor? So the Mitzudah says that don't be confused. It means they are Gam Him Hoyu Noiksim Al Oisei Hamalacha. They also were in charge of overseeing the labor. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk says Vayamal Yeshua Amdu. Yeshua sang Shira. Okay, Yeshua sang Rashi Lishitasai. Rashi learns Lenatzech in this pasuk, not like the Mitzudas also refers to song. Biyachad, Saviv Oisei Hamalacha, while together, Saviv surrounding the Oisei Meleches Yisrabai, is surrounding the people that actually laid the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, pasuk Yud.
The Kohen sang also.
Yeah, that's what it appears. And yeah, that's what appears in Rashi. You're right. Vayamod Yeshua Bonov, the Echov and his brothers, Kadmiel, Ubonov Bnei Yehuda Ke'echov. So not only, what's very interesting is, not only are there Levim singing according to Rashi, there's also the Kohanim, and there are also members of Yisraelim, members of Shevet Yehuda. Because here it says Kadmiel Ubonov Bnei Yehuda. It says here Kadmiel. Kadmiel and Bonav were people from Bnei Yehuda. So you have a Koyen, you have a Yehuda, and you have the Levim, this family of Bnei Chei Neidot, Bneiim Yachem HaLevim. Those were a third family. Koyhanim, Yisraelim, and Levim all participate in this idea called Lenatzech Rashi. It's singing, Koyim Sudos. It means supervising. Or if you really want to learn like the Mesuzah Lebediv, it doesn't necessarily mean supervising, it also means providing security, making sure there is no interference, there's no interference, the Ami Haret should not interfere and prevent them from concluding the construction. Pasuk Yud. Vayistu habanim b'seichel Hashem. They laid the foundation. Vayamidu ha-koyhanim milu boshim, and the koyhanim stood there dressed in special garments, b'chatzoitzreis, with trumpets, v'halevim b'nei Asaf b'mdam tzil type symbols. They bang those two pieces of metal to symbols together. Why these utensils? It's not clear the significance. Why the after these utensils? It's very deep. There's a lot of Kabbalistic, mystical, understand all different types of instruments. There are the wind instruments, there are the string instruments, and then there's the instruments where you just percussion, you bang two things together. All of this has great meaning in Chazal. It's where utensils, I think the Gra says that it represents the highest level of Simchal. These, when you take one utensil and you bang it against another utensil, any music that's produced represents somehow the greatest level of Simcha. There's Simcha which comes from your neshama by blowing the wind instruments. Then there is something that has to do with your fingers, okay, the string instruments, and the percussion where you bang utensils together. Each one in halacha, in Chazal, represents a different form of simcha, which I have no clue. But it's very, very deep. You have this, we find all the stories in Tehillim, we say every day, right before we say, Baruch Hashem li olam, amen, amen, that last mizmah, the fifth mizmah, halalukah, the 12 different instruments, the tzotzle shama, the tzotzle srua, the minim v'ugav, that last mizmah, there are 12 different instruments that are mentioned, 12 different, and there you find very complicated ideas in Chazal to explain the significance of the different types of musical instruments, and for some reason over here, only one is being mentioned, the mal tziltaim, the symbols, lahalel, and this was done to give praise, Hashem al yidei, through David Melech Yisrael. The songs that were sung were specifically those that were composed by David, not by Asaph, not by Moshe, not by a whole list of people mentioned in Tanakh, and certainly not by the Heintiker. It wasn't composed by the modern day composers. It was traditional lyrics, traditional songs. I'm not going to make jokes and tell you all the different names. Show you my bikkias, but it was the first
by Samaritan.
Right. So that's interesting. From the first, even before David was before David didn't live to see the second base, the first base in English. From before the first base, everything is being founded on the Soidos of the predecessors of David Melech Yisrael. Now, what's interesting over here is there are a few things. They were Kohanim wearing Miluboshim clothing. What kind of clothing were they wearing? So there's a Machloikis Rishonim. Some say they were wearing Big Day Kahuna, which is very significant. Now they put on for the first time Big Day Kahuna. The question is, you're not allowed to wear Big Day Kahuna. You're only allowed to wear Big Day Kahuna when you do the Avodah. And here they're not doing the Avodah Gezuntai, they're doing construction. And in fact, we don't even have a Beis HaMikdash. We have over here nothing. They're just the Mizbeach, the first laying the foundation. Are you allowed to wear, to derive, when a kohen wears Big Day Kahuna, he's deriving benefit. His body is receiving warmth, and the clothing have sanctity. They have no right to derive pleasure from clothing that's Kodesh when they're not doing the service of Hashem. And here it's not even possible to do the service of Hashem because you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. How then are they allowed to wear the Big Day Kahuna? It's a very difficult question. So based upon this question, some want to interpret this pasuk to mean they were not wearing Big Day Kahuna. They were just wearing special uniforms for the occasion. Okay, uniforms, a nice, beautiful garment, robes, tunics, whatever it was, in honor of the occasion, but not the kuna. Others don't know it was a harasha, a special dispensation. The Chazal, everything here was up in Ruach HaKodesh, to Nevim, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. It was Ruach HaKodesh, and there's a special reason why they were required to wear their Big Day Kahuna at this moment in time. Another curious thing mentioned in the pasuk is Tchvechatzoitzreis, trumpets. Where do the trumpets come here? The trumpets are only sounded in times of war. trumpets are sounded on Rosh Chodesh, on the Moadim. We don't do all these things today, but trumpets is very limited. When you take trumpets that have sanctity from the Beis HaMikdash, and when you blow the trumpets, what over here is going on? Why are they blowing trumpets? There is no war. There is no avoda. This is not one of the Yom Tovim. So it's also not clear who Rosh Hashanah. Special, no, but it's not practice, it's part of a service. Everything that's happening over here is a one-time deal, and it's hard for really us to understand. Okay, then obviously the Levim b'nei Asaf, the Levim over here, it's mentioned over here specifically, also it's a curious expression, why only were the Levim from b'nei Asaf? We learned before there were many Levim. Okay, not many, in our handout we have different families of Levim, and why over here do we have Dafka these Levim? I'm not sure. A Pasuk test. Okay, I want to just make one correction. I just noticed over here that a Pasuk test, I told you Kadmiel Lubanov was part of the Levim. If you go look back in the chart, you have to look at the chart. I remember Yeshua, Bana Ve'echav. Yeshua and Pasuk test was the Kohen Gadol. That's from the Kohanim. Ve'echav. No. I'm very, very sorry. I'm sorry. It's a mistake. Pasuk test, Vayamod Yeshua Bana V'Echav Kadmiel Banav Ubanav. These are only Levim. Uvnei Yehuda also are a family of Levim. These are all three families. I totally forgot about that. When you go back to the Levim, certainly Yeshua and Kadmiel are families of Levim, not Kohanim. There were three different Yeshuas. I forgot to remember. It was the Yeshua Kohen Gadol, and there was a Yeshua part of the family of the Levim, and there was another Yeshua that was part of the Yisraelim. And Kadmiel also was a family of Levim, and I believe Yehuda, there was a person Yehuda, there was also a family of Yehuda called from the family of Levim. Let me just jump back very quickly to Perek Beis, Pasuk Ches. What?
Why is the Lashon different? Shouldn't it be the Yehuda?
No, so Yehuda's name, if we want to look back over here, Levim b'nei Yeshua k'bnei Hodoya. Let me just see. I think there was a Yehuda also. B'nei Yehuda was also a family of Levim. I can't find it here. Mem pasuk mem perek beis halavim bnei Yeshua v'kadmiel levnei ho davya shem v'abo hamishah bnei Yosef mei avya shem shmoyna bnei Asherim. No, there is no Yehuda here. Okay, so I'm not sure about the Yehuda. Okay, I have to go look into this more, but it's Pasuk test when it says over here that there is Yeshua, Bonov, the Echov, and then when it says Kadmiel, Uvonov, and his children, Bnei Yehuda Ke'echod, so there's no question that Yeshua and Kadmiel were families of Levim. If I'm not mistaken, Yehuda also here is not Shevet Yehuda, it's also a family of a Levi. And only the Levim participated in being Lenatzeach, in overseeing the construction of the Mikdash, or in singing when they actually built the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so let's go back to Pasuk Yud. Uvonov the Kadmiel, Uvonov bnei Yehuda, yeah, seemingly, yeah. So that would seem that Bonov bnei Yehuda were children of Kadmiel, a family of Levim. It does not mean here Shevet Yehuda. We're dealing over here with a family of Levim, two families called Yeshua, a family called Kadmiel, and a branch of the Kadmiel family was bnei Yehuda. But they're all Levim. Only the Levim participated in singing and in supervising and providing security and encouragement for those that laid the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so going back to Pasuk Yud, so we have here they wore their clothing and they blow the trumpets, and the Levim b'nei Asaf, they were the ones who were using the Bam Tziltayim to give praise to Hashem. Let's see the Rashi Pasuk Yud. Vayistu Mishkal Chozak Min Yisod. The word Vayistu is the root is a very intense form of the word foundation. Vayistu, Loshon of Yisod, foundation. Vayistu is an intensification of the word of Yisod, foundation. And he gives an example. Vayistu, Tirosehem, these are the towers. Vayeshu, min Yesha, Vayistu, min Yasad, Umashmu Usan, Vayistu, Vayeshu, b'mishkol Chozok, b'shte Yudin, Achas Pulov, Yachas Yisod, Upishroinam Hoyu, Mishon Hoyu, Miyastim. Miyashin. It means they laid the foundation. It's a verb form of the noun foundation. They laid the foundation with intensity. Vayistu habayinim, next Rashi, v'habayinim yastim es yisod heichel Hashem, b'shah shahayu menatzchim b'shirasam. They laid the foundation while the Levim were singing. V'amidu ha-koyhanim al-bushim bigdei kavod. And Rashi here says that the koyhanim were stationed in bigdei kavod. Rashi is very careful to say they were not wearing big day kahuna. They were wearing distinguished robes. You know, it's like today in the armed services, you have soldiers, and even among the policemen, among the fire department, they have different sets of uniforms. They have the formal uniform, the dress uniform, and then they have the uniform they wear, fatigue, and they wear the cabinet. Each one has its same exact thing. The Kohanim, it appears, had two different uniforms. They had the service uniform, the white, the ksoines and the avnate, and then they had dress uniforms, and that's Rashi of here is saying the kohanim milubashim, not the big day kahuna dress uniform, big day kavod. Okay, that's a very interesting idea. And that's the mafarshim. They say this explicitly because it can't be they were mamash wearing bidei kahuna, because there is no beis hamigdash. They're not doing avoda. You're not allowed al pi halacha to wear bidei kahuna at this point in time. Okay, v'halvim bnei Yosef, hayu m'shem, they were singing b'mil bam tzaltayim kumo tzeltzle shama. We say this until and every single day. Tzeltzle shama klei shir heim. These are symbols. The Gra, I think, says that represents that symbols are the highest form of joy, whatever that means. Pasuk Yud. Al yidei David shayu menatzchem u'mesharim shiros v'chaydoyos shel David melech Yisrael. Okay, let's see the mitzvahs very quickly. Mulvashim pasuk Yud bigdei kavod, same exact thing. Vidin bechatzaytrois al yidei David behilu hoyma al yidei David. Now remember, others disagree. Some harashah they were actually wearing the bigdei kuna. Now pasuk Yidav is very important. Sure.
Going back to that chapter Bays.
Yeah. Okay, Pasuk Mem.
In our period, it says Bnei Yehuda.
Oh, what do you have? Okay, wait.
Bnei Hodavya. It's really like an anagram of the same
word. Aha, okay, interesting. That's the Bnei Yehuda. Very interesting, excellent.
Who's that?
Okay, he's going back to Perek Beis Pasuk Mem. Very good. So you want to say the Kadmiel Levnei Hodavya is another reference to Bnei Yehuda. Very good. Excellent. Excellent idea. What is anything with the Mepharshim on the page? Lametes and the Mitzudos. Levnei Hodaya. No, he doesn't say Hodaya. Okay, very good. So L'chayra, they're one and the same. Same exact thing, but the only Perek tests, Pasuk tests, are only dealing with the Levim. Yeshua, Kadmiel, and then the family of Chenodod. Okay, now let's go to Pasuk Yud Aleph. I want to really finish this parak. Let's read from Vayanu Behalal V'Hoidos L'Hashem. And when they laid the foundation, they raised their voice in Halel V'Hoidos with praise and thanksgiving L'Hashem Ki Toiv Ki Li Olam Chasto. His kindness is forever. Al Yisrael, upon the Jewish people, the Chol Ha'am, and all of the people, the assembled people, the 42,360 people that I've gathered, made Aliyah for this event. The Chol Ha'am, they shouted, Sidua Gidola, a great shout. L'chayre does not mean they blew a shofar. It would seem that they were shouting for joy. They were raising their voice and clapping and raising their voice, Sidua Gidola, behalel Hashem, and thanksgiving to Hashem, Al Husad, that they merited to witness in their own eyes the laying of the foundation of Beis Hashem. Pasuk Yud Aleph in Rashi, Vayanu Loshon Anias Zemer, raising up in song. K'may Vatan Lehem Miriam, like coming up in 2 weeks, Shiras Miriam, Pashmishalach Miriam, Uvil Hoidois, Uvil Hoidoya, thanksgiving, Kitoiv, to give it's good, lahoidos to Hashem. It is good. It is good to give thanks to Hashem. You see, we say ki tov does not mean different interpretations that Hashem is good. That's a given. What it means, ki tov, it's good to give thanks to Hashem. Hoidu l'Hashem, give thanks to Hashem. Why? Ki, because Hashem is a good, he's a good man. Hashem is a good man. Is that what it means? No, that's not what it means. Hoidu l'Hashem, ki tov, it's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to give thanks to Hashem. That's the pshat in the pasuk, according to many of the commentators. I'm sure you'll find someone that says ki tov because Hashem. It's not. It's true, of course, but it's not what it means according to most. Ki tov, Mitzvah Siras Rashi says explicitly, ki tov lehodos laHashem. It is good to give thanks to Hashem. When you give thanks to Hashem, you are improving yourself. It has an effect on you to give someone else or to give recognize that someone else is good. Kili olam chasto. Okay, back to the pasuk in Rashi. V'chol am shor kol am yisrael. Everyone else, they sang thanks. Al husad kol hasmachos halalu. All of these joys, smachos, hasmachos halalu. Hayu oisin al binyan yisod. They did al binyan yisod. Asher husad beis Hashem. That was established. All of these celebrations were done to commemorate the laying of the foundation. Okay, let's see of the Mitzudas Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ayanu behalal, hirimu hakol behalal, loymar ki tov lehodos Hashem, ki li'olam Moshe chasto al Yisrael. It is good to give thanks to Hashem like Rashi, because His kindness always is among Yisrael. Al husad kol asmochas lo hayu al asher nicha yisrael beis Hashem. They lay the foundation. Okay, pasik yud beis. Can we finish this? We're going to have time to finish this. We're really running out of time. Let's just see. Pasik yud beis. V'rabi me'akoyinim v'halivim v'rosh shehova. This is a very, very famous pasik. Many people from the Kohanim and the Levim, v'rosh shehova, and the heads of the families from the Yisraelim, Hazikain and the elders, Asher rohu es habayis harishon biyasta. They remember what took place 52 years ago. They were alive 52 years ago. They were present in the Bayis Rishon. Remember, it's exactly 52. No, it's going to come to an end. It's not going to be completed. It's going to be, it'll take another 18 years until it'll be built.
These are people who left.
Yes, 52 years. These are people, now some of them were newborners, some of them were youngsters. Some of them, probably the majority were youngsters who were first born. They were 20, 30 years old. They were born in Bavel, they were born in Golis.
Right.
But there was a significant group of people who at this point were at least 52 years old, probably more like 70 or 80, and some of them, there's a Gemara that they were very old, they lived very old. A lot of people at this point in time, they were blessed with Arichas Yamin. They were very old, and they lived during the time of the Bayis Sheni. Let's say they were 70 years old. So that means the Bayis Rishon. So they saw the Bayis Rishon. They were young men.
No, we were told that the people who left, they left 18 years before the...
Oh, some of them. That's true also. They were different groups, that's right. So that means they had to be even older. They had to be almost 100 years old. Absolutely, you're right. There were different groups. There were groups that left 18 years. There was a group that left 11 years before the Korban. And there was a very large group that left at the time of the Korban. You're right. So there were three different exiles. 18 years, 11 years, and the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash itself was exactly 52 years before. Go back another 11 years, then go back another 7 years. You're right. But there were people that were present, that were here, witnessing the laying of the foundation, that witnessed the bayis rishon, and they saw that this bayis is nothing compared to the glory or they're of what was in the olden days. So the rab, there were many, me'akoyhan, v'halavim, v'rosh ha'avos, ha'zikainim. Zikainim seemingly goes back on all three groups, the me'akoyhan, v'halavim, and the rosh ha'avos, asharo, they saw the bayis harishon biyosto. They were alive during the time of the bayis rishon, when they saw ze ha'bayis be'enehem, when they saw this bayis, boichim, they cried. They were crying b'kol gadol, and they weren't crying of simcha, right? Sometimes you cry out of joy. They were not crying out of joy, they were crying out of pain. Because because it was the glory was much glorious. Now we'll see in a moment why. We'll see some interesting details about the stones in a moment. But let's read the whole pasuk here and the next pasuk. But verabim. But on the other hand, there were many people, the youngsters, the new generation. Verabim b'sua. There were many that were shouting b'simcha in joy. Leharim called to raise their voice. Now which group outshouted the other? Were the cries, the mourning from the old timers louder than the shouts of joy from the youngsters, or was the shouts of joy of the youngsters louder than the cries of the old timers? So the pasuk Yud Gimel tells us that the old timers were louder. Their cries were louder. The Ein Ha'am, the people, that the bystanders that were watching, Makirim, they did not hear, they did not recognize, they did not sense Koil, the sound, Truas HaSimcha, the shouts of joy, because it was muffled, it was overpowered by Lekol due to the sound B'chi of Cry Ha'am. Ki Ha'am Mirim Trua Gedola. Because now ki means although. Ki over here will translate although. The Am Miriam Tura Gedola, although the youngsters were crying out with a great shout, a great cry of joy, it didn't matter. The Hakol Nishma, the call of the cries, was heard ad l'meirachok, to a greater distance. It was louder. It was a louder sound that was heard further away, and therefore it muffled the cries of joy. So this was a bittersweet period of time. We just finished Paragimel. It was a bittersweet period of time where the old timers and the young, and they were crying that they recognized that the glory of the Bais Sheni would not be anything near the glory of the Bais Rishon. They cried. Whereas the youngsters who did not know from a Bais Rishon, they were happy. They had now a new national symbol. They had a Beis HaMikdash. For them, it was the first time. They didn't know. They didn't know from better. They didn't know what they're missing. Okay, this is the story of life. Ma'isin b'chol yom. You don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. Bliss is the other way around. I always mix it. Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. That's exactly the story. Okay, let's over here the Rashi very quickly. I'll say Rashi by pasuk yudbeis. B'yastai b'yisait shel shaloi. Min shame dovar shall yusat umin yosad yomab yosto. Rashi is obsessed with this word yusayv, a verb, a noun, and how it's used. K'moy min chodash b'chodshay min kodesh b'chodshay. It means when its foundation was laid. Zehabayis k'shahayu roin binyan bayis zeh hayu boichin mitoich shayuz. Now what's we have to read Rashi very carefully, because a lot of mafarshim say a lot of different things. The words in the pasuk we noticed are very vague. The words, if you would rewrite, you wouldn't write it like this. It's a very, very difficult expression, these two psukim. So Rashi, you have to read Rashi very carefully. Rashi says, "Zehabayis kishahayu roin binyan zeh zeh binyan bayis zeh hayu boichen." They were crying to shayu zeichen also binyan hagadol shalabayis rishon. They remembered also the binyan gadol shalabayis rishon. It's not really clear. They just remembered. What?
What means is the you're going back 500 years?
Not 500 years.
No.
The binyan, it has to do with the... No, this Yisol, the Yisol of this bias, the Bayis Sheni.
Right.
When they witnessed the laying of the foundation, right, the Bayis Sheni, they remembered the glory of the Bayis Rishon 52 years ago. It was only 50...
Harishon B'yasto is together.
When B'yasto means when it was in existence. B'yasto does not mean when it was the foundation was laid. It means when it was in existence. Also, they remembered it. Binyan Godol, the glorious binyan shall bayis rishon. Let's read further. Virad mashaloi ro binyan bayis rishon. Many that did not see, who the youngsters, the new generation, that did not see binyan bayis rishon, how you smechim umirina was shining b'simcha b'kol gadol mirov simchas and shiyatzu migalus. They were happy. They had over here. They left the golus. But the einam akidim oisim hashaimim, the people, the bystanders, those people that are on the sides of observing what's happening. Lo hayu makirim kol terua. They did not recognize the kol terua shel simcha. Mipnei kol b'chi ha'am Sheharei ha'am ha'smechim ha'yimurim tu'a g'doyla v'kol ha'b'chi v'sway Rashi learns how he translates the Pasuk Nishma yoyser v'yoyser. He doesn't say that in the Pasuk. Rashi is adding that into the parish of the Pasuk. The sound of cries was louder. How do we know it was louder? The proof is it can be heard at a greater distance. So if it can be heard at a greater distance, even if you were to go close up, where you would be able to hear the sound of the joy, the sounds of joy, it will be muffled by the sounds of the cries, which were loud. Again, the proof that it was loud was because the proof is the distance what you would hear at that point in time. Now, from Rashi, if you look at Rashi very carefully, Rashi doesn't really say what they were so upset about. All Rashi, if according to Rashi, read Rashi very literally, what's more nostalgia? It's like, oh, it's like you remember the olden days. It's not really, doesn't explicitly say in Rashi that they were crying because, oh, this bias is nothing. This bias sheni is going to be nothing connected the glory of the bias Rishon. From Rashi, it means we've gone through a lot of life. It's like maybe you can even read in Rashi. I don't know if it is that they were happy. It was they were crying in Simcha, right? That we remember the we had a Beis Hamikdash, the glorious old days, and we suffered such great tragedy. It was destroyed. Many died, were killed, were persecuted. We had tzaras, and now here we are with Zoichet to see the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. They were crying from joy. That's really all Rashi says. I don't think you can. You can. What?
Last Shabbos, there was a total grandson was being bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
He went up for an aliyah. While he was saying the brachas, he got overcome and he started to cry.
The grandfather, right.
So he was not crying.
Exactly. It was a cry of simcha. That's really. I don't think you can. You can read that into Rashi. Now, however, it's not the way these two psukim are understood. I think in the Gemara says, let's see over here the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says, Pasik Yud Beis, Es Binyan HaRishon, Shabon HaShlomo, B'yasto, B'eis Yasta Bayis, when they laid this for the foundation of this Bayis, B'neim, Rotzlem, V'heim HaRoyim, Boichim. So here the Mitzudos is saying something is very clear, he's very explicit. Now, either, you could read this in Tarashi. Rashi doesn't say it, but the Mitzudos is explicit. Why were they crying? It's a little bizarre what he says, but it represents a very great idea. It was much smaller. First of all, what do you mean it was smaller? It wasn't smaller. The base Hamidish was exactly the same size, and the fact is even bigger. It was even bigger, certain things. It means the foundation stones were small stones. That's what it says to Ibn Ezra. It's a pella. The Bayis Rishon had massive stones. Like, yeah, you needed cranes and the modern technology. Yeah, they're little stones, little clayna foundation stones. Small, because you can't say the dimensions were smaller. But what was? These are very deep people. Everything that was happening here was very symbolic. Everything was imbued with sanctity. They saw little stones that meant that this bias in sanctity, the foundation, the sanctity of this bias is very small, keneged the sanctity of the binyan of Shlomo HaMelech. But this point, it was small in sanctity. Now, there's a very deep idea here, and we'll finish with this idea, that okay, in a chinami, it's true. The sanctity of the Bayis Sheni was relatively small, minor, kneged the sanctity of the Bayis Rishon. And that was expressed in the size of the foundation stones. Symbolic. But the Bayis Sheni had one mila that was infinitely greater than the Bayis Rishon, according to most opinions of the Gemara, is that the Kedusha of the bayis rishon kitchel shaita veloy kitchel osilava. The sanctity they imbued in the bayis rishon and for the which really represented the sanctity they gave the land was only for that time. And if someone would come along and were to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the sanctity would depart. Kitcha l'shaita, v'loi kitcha l'osilava. But the kedusha of the Bayis Sheni was kitcha l'shaita, the sanctity was for now, v'kitcha also forever and ever. Even though the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Mokoyim is sacred. You can't go today on the Har HaBayis. Okay, even though when they tell you they go on the Har HaBayis, they're not really taking you, they're not going Mamash on the Har HaBayis, they're taking you on the perimeter. And even that's not so simple. But no one, even those who go on those tours, they're not Mamash going. Mikvah is just, there's no reason to go to the Mikvah. Either you can go, you can't go. It's not, they just go to the Mikvah just... It looks good. It sounds good. Going to the mikvah is not going to make a difference. Doesn't make a difference. It's good. It's kedusha. You go to the mikvah. Nothing on going to the mikvah. But the Har HaBayis, the real Har HaBayis, you're not allowed to go. Okay, again, the tours they go today, those who go, they're not going. They're just going to the perimeter. They're not going. But it's you're allowed to go. Why not? It's been destroyed. When it's been destroyed, the sanctity has been dissolved. It disappears. No. That's exactly the point. The sanctity that was imbued in this Mokoyim, Kitcha L'Shaita, V'Kitcha L'Asalava. That was not true by the time of the Bayis Rishon. When they went on tours, okay, well, during these 52 years, if there was tours going on, they went. They can go on that Mokoyim because the Kedusha and the Kitcha L'Shaita, V'Loi Kitcha, once it was destroyed. So look what's going on. This is an incredible insight, incredible, very deep idea which requires understanding. On the one hand, knew the Bayis Sheni. It's not as sacred as the Bayis Rishon. Small foundation stones. It's minor in Kedusha, Keneged, the greatness of Kedusha. But on the other hand, what we're doing now is going to last forever and ever and ever. So if you ask the average person, which one is it Kedai to cry or to be Besimcha? I think you'd say Besimcha. It's true. It's not so sacred. But that should pale... relative to the fact that its sanctity is going to be forever. Forever. Unlike the Bayis Rishon, whose sanctity was only temporary. Only during the time. But yet it says here in the Pasuk, we learn from the people of this time, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, even though the Kedusha will be forever, if the foundation of a Kedusha that's going to be forever is minor, Keneged, the Kedusha, the foundation of Kedusha that once was in the Bayis Rishon, it's Kedai to cry. It's Kedai to be in a state of sadness. Again, two different things are playing out. Kedusha is minor, but it's forever. Which one overweighs the other? The people of this time felt that it's a terrible thing that the Kedusha is minor, even though it's going to last forever and ever. It's a very deep, deep idea, very deep concept. Okay, so that pretty much concludes Perek Gimel. Maybe tomorrow we'll go over there, two Midrashim here. Maybe we'll go over tomorrow, but we'll stop over here right now.